Hello and welcome into the latest edition of the Rebel Room, the weekly podcast here on LasVegasSun.com featuring myself, Taylor Byrne, and colleague, boss, man currently twirling a state championship soccer ring around his finger from Chap High, Ray Brewer. Ray, how you doing?
93.
What position did you play?
I played in high school. I was kind of like a defensive midfielder. I was on a really, really good team. We scored like 100 goals and gave up like 6 or 7. But I was a second stringer at best.
I know the feeling.
Yes.
That's me in a nutshell.
I was slower than I looked.
quick side story before we get into the Rebels, because I do find this funny. Ray obviously is our best prep sports guy, the best prep sports guy in the entire city. But his favorite day of the year when football players come in for the media day in the summer, always make sure to bust out the state title ring. And every single one of them just assumes that, and this is part of the reason he wears it, I believe, they assume that it is a state football title ring.
It's a great conversation.
it gives you cachet with the players, I suppose.
A makes little you, street cred.
Yeah, there you go. Again. Anyway, turning to the Rebels, obviously the biggest story of the past week was the death of Jerry Tarkanian, 84 years old. Certainly not unforeseen, just in general. You know, he had a lot of health issues, but then especially for when it happened, went into the hospital, I think late last Monday night. It was serious enough. They knew that it was probably the end, that during the UNLV Fresno game last Tuesday, of course, two universities where Tark spent a lot of time. He was an undergrad for a bit at Fresno State and also coached there after his UNLV tenure unceremoniously ended. But they just had a moment, I believe it was before the game last Tuesday, and then it was announced Wednesday morning that he had died. Since then, it has been awesome to read all of the stories, all of the anecdotes, all of the quotes, the one-liners, the history. A lot of stuff that I either knew or had read before, but was kind of a refresher. And then a lot of, you know, I'm new to this town. I wasn't really alive for the great Tark days. And so a lot of it was just stuff that I didn't know. And, you know, it's hard to imagine having a better, like, storytelling than after his death. Just kind of what were some of your reactions, emotions over the past week with someone who I know you looked up to as a kid, right?
And I'm with you. The fact that those stories and tales weren't just shared locally, it was
everybody.
It was national news.
National sports writers who just, you know, had their time covering the team either in the 90s, the 80s. There were a lot of, you know, great beat writers now. I think Jeff Passan, who I didn't realize covered Fresno State, Andy Katz, I knew had covered Fresno State, and so those guys just kind of telling stories from, you know, post UNLV Tark, but still just you know, same as he ever was.
He was quite the character, and I think the one thing that we failed to realize is we knew he was a good basketball coach, and we knew that he preferred to recruit kids with obviously great talent, but it might have been from the inner city that other schools had passed on.
Yeah, and it's kind of what he had to do.
Yeah.
You know, he wanted to win. He had at a place like UNLV at that time, he had to take some chances.
Exactly. I think what stood out for me is some of the stories that former players were giving about their post-playing days and how Jerry remained part of their lives. And a lot of times you didn't see that, nor did you think that he was that type of hands-on guy after folks had graduated. And for me, I think that kind of completed the circle for me, where, you know, he recruits a kid, you know, trying to build his program. You know, it's a school that others didn't consider, and he recruited players who weren't considered by other schools, so it was a perfect match. And they put out a brand of basketball that kind of redefined the game a little bit. You know, they would score more than 100 points before the three-point line came into effect.
Mm-hmm.
And they started the streak of three-pointers made in the game, which still stands today. And, you know, it's, you know, suffocating defense, fast break offense, letting your athletes play. And it was just, you know, and I was a kid during all this. And, you know, we didn't have anything in Vegas. We didn't have a pro sports team. You know, the town was a lot smaller then. There was just 12 high schools. And these basketball players were, I mean, we looked up to them and the things they could do, and we all wanted to play for the Rebels. And it was just a glorious time in our life, all because of, you know, his what he built. And now he's dead, and the best way to honor him for me would be to try to stop being mediocre and win some basketball games. I wrote that last week.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a shame. And I think – and I'm never going to be one that says Dave Rice is the wrong guy, because he's a link to the past. He was here when this place was rocking, so he's seen it. But it's hard to replicate it.
Well, you're never going to get exactly what it was.
No, but I mean –
that should never be the goal.
You should at least be ranked, though. You build a team that's ranked?
How about because rankings don't actually mean anything, let's set that to the side, but compete in your league.
Okay, could you compete in your league?
They should.
They're going to be playing in the playing game this year in the league tournament.
It's looking that way. Okay. And obviously, and we'll get into this, but UNLV now going to be playing the rest of the regular season. In my opinion, it should be just the rest of the season. We'll see how the rehab goes. But without leading scorer Rashad Vaughn, torn meniscus from the game at it was the Fresno State game at the end of that one. And then found out yesterday, Dantley Walker, the end of the bench, you know, eighth scholarship guy, out 3 to 4 weeks. Doesn't really impact things that much. But I know it's made some people feel like UNLV is snake bitten. I don't agree, but that's neither here nor there, because Vaughn's absence is a big one. And because of the depth that they gave themselves.
And Vaughn was actually
to start the year, that's a big loss.
Vaughn was actually really heating up. He had some put together a few great games. His shot was coming to its own.
Well, he's actually the amazing thing to me, or not necessarily amazing, but impressive. His averages, if you look at kind of points, rebounds, and then even shooting percentage to a degree, the shooting percentage did get better. His points and rebounds were like the exact same non-conference and conference. Like, he just goes out and fills it up. You know, it was 18 and 5. Like, that's kind of always what it was. And that's obviously a lot of production to try and replace when you don't know what you're going to be able to get out of Dwayne Morgan. You don't know what you're going to be able to get out of Jalon Kendrick. You don't necessarily know what you're going to get out of Jordan Cornish on any given night. You know, between those three, you've got, you know, what, two productive players basically right now. If you could just combine all of them, you know, a couple of freshmen and a senior, and then, you know, Pat McCaw's been great, as you saw in the second half of Air Force, but now he's basically they liked him emerging as the third scorer. Now he's basically got to be number two or number one some nights, depending on how Chris Wood, who it must be said, Chris Wood has been great. You know, you can ding him for the body language stuff. You can dig him because he's never met a screen that he actually wants to set, but he fills it up. He's been playing awesome. My favorite part of his game probably is just the stuff around the basket, where he looks like a baby deer, which is kind of the limbs flying around, feet not necessarily settled, but he just gets to the rim, gets his shots. He's been playing very well. And like I said, you know, you can pick apart a bunch of little stuff if you want, but he's been playing great. McCaw's been great. And then, you know, what else do you got?
Yeah, and the thing is even if the other pieces played well, eventually the number game is going to come back. You can't play guys 30-plus minutes every night and expect them to be fresh, especially when you get to the tournament and you've got to play games on back-to-back-to-back days. Eventually, you're going to run out of gas.
Could potentially be back-to-back-to-back-to-back.
Yeah, days. You're eventually going to run out of gas. Now, I will say, glass half full, you know, UNLV still has, in my opinion, one of the better players in the league in Chris Wood.
Mm-hmm.
They have a guy, Pat McCaw, who has just been sensational.
He would need a push to probably pass Colette, but without Vaughn in now, he's got a chance to be freshman of the year. Okay. In the league.
I haven't been a Cody Doolin fan, but he still is a senior guy playing in his last month of college basketball. Yeah. Maybe he's that team leader you need.
He's the biggest enigma, maybe, from this team. Just it, depending on how people feel about him. It's probably an argument whether that's Wood or dueling and enigma is not the right word. I think just divisive, but between fans, between people who are watching the game, of just, you know, where do you stand on them as a player?
Sure. And you've got Jalon Kendrick. He's been good.
He's been pretty solid. He's had some good games.
He's
running the break well, too.
He's got some talent. He's been a McDonald's All-American.
I hate that keeps getting quoted. It's a fact. It's on his resume, all that. But he is so far from that level of player.
And what he does well for me is that he doesn't think. He's not fearless. He's fearless. You know, he's willing to take the shot. But listen, you've got two seniors potentially on the court at the same time, and teams with experienced seniors in the postseason usually do well.
Yeah, but a lot of times that's experience playing together, playing with the same group, playing for the same coach.
I'm just trying to piece together some positives. I totally get it. Yeah, there's
a positive to me. I mean, if you're trying to spin it this way now, after the injury, what is there to lose?
Nothing.
There are now they have underperformed in league play. They're clearly, I mean, even like top four is now just all but off the table. And you're without your best player now, or at least your leading scorer, you know, best player. You can decide how you want to define that. But just play spoiler. Just get better each day. Do little things. There shouldn't be any – all of the close losses, those have all happened. You already have 7 losses in league. And so there should be, I think, at least, you know, you can try and spin it this way, there is no pressure anymore. There's nothing expected anymore. You were already underperforming and you lost your leading scorer. You only have 7 scholarship players. Anybody who's expecting you to go on a run needs to have themselves mentally checked out.
I guess I got to call the doctor.
but so with that, to say, all right, who cares? Let's try some things.
Yeah, and every game's close. It's like, let's just set the clock to 2 minutes and play.
I don't think you're going to like the result.
Well, it hasn't been favorable for UNLV, but considering their record and considering the players they have, if you're telling me right now that they're in the Mountain West tournament with 2 minutes to play in a coin flip game, I think that's a good scenario.
No, it's a likely scenario, yeah, based on everything
we've
seen.
We know what to expect. Wednesday they play Boise State.
Yeah, and this is what I want to get into here, spinning it forward, because we know what happened in the Fresno. And, man, God, that was just an – people tried to give me crap for it on Twitter for calling that game ugly. I don't know how else you would describe it in 140 characters. 52 combined free throws, 36 combined fouls. I'm pretty sure those are accurate because they're ingrained into my head because I wanted that night to end. So it was just a slog and just ugly in all facets. But UNLV got the win. That's what they needed to do. Go to Air Force, and, man, I could not disagree with Dave Rice more on the defense thing, which was – and anybody watching the game, look, they were giving up tons of three-pointers. Go out of the zone. Maybe you go back to it. At least try some man. Try this. And I asked him specifically about that after the game, and he said it wasn't the defense we were in. It was the execution therein. Well, then try – if you're not executing the 2-3, then try man. Try something else. All they ever did, they came out in 1-3-1, went to mostly 2-3 for the game, did a little bit of back to 1-3-1. But they just – once they started getting killed over the top in the second half, they did not make – adjustments the way that they needed to. They just kept thinking that, and it's sort of the definition of insanity. They kept banging their head into the wall, expecting a different result. And so that's just where. And then, you know, you can get into all the different ways that they found to lose games in the last 2 minutes. Timeout management has not been good. Foul trouble of key guys plaguing them, and, you know, just not.
Who takes the last shot has been always a.
Well, you can get into that too, but moving forward, because I do think it's a really interesting dynamic that we're going to have at the MAC tomorrow. So
tomorrow the game is a pick, UNLV Boise State.
Is that okay? I was debating yesterday whether it's going to be a pick or UNLV 1, because I didn't think it would open at Boise.
I thought it was going to be UNLV 2.
Yeah,
Just because they're at home, which is kind of what I think. We're talking about positives here. In the Mountain West tournament, on the UNLV home court.
No.
It's a neutral court.
In their home building on a different court. They bring in a court.
You know what I'm saying.
I'm just going with the technicalities. Got to be factual here today.
You're factual. I think there's only one team in the league that UNLV is not the betting favorite against.
San Diego State?
Yeah.
Depends on how Wyoming looks if Nance comes back. I still think UNLV is the favorite
over Wyoming with Nance in the lineup. Here. I'm sorry.
Maybe.
What do you mean you're sorry? I'm sorry that you disagree with me.
Well, I don't know that I disagree with you. A, there haven't been enough. We haven't seen them without Vaughn, only one game. So you need to see more from that. Because they could lose by 20 tomorrow, and I wouldn't be shocked by it.
Oh, 20, I would be shocked.
No.
20? Getting blown out?
Stuff happens. You don't know what this team is going to be like.
Are they just going to go roll over? I mean,
they could.
They're going to compete. Is Chris Wood not going to play? He could.
Maybe.
You're right.
I see your face. Well,
what do you want?
They could win by 20 or lose by 20, and neither one is going to surprise me.
If they win by 20, would you be more surprised than them losing by 20?
No, actually.
Okay.
All right. Because I do think even when they've lost, they've generally kept it close, and you're at home, all of that stuff. But it does, and this is what I want to get into. I mean, you've got tickets. It looks like it's going to be the highest attended game of the season. You've got all kinds of TARC stuff going on. You know, it seems like a game where you would get probably like the best shot out of UNLV, and yet you're bringing in a team that, you know, a week ago some people were saying was the best in the Mountain West, and they're coming off of a loss to a Fresno State team who stinks. We just saw that. And so now they really need to win because they're fighting. I mean, this is a team that actually has at-large aspirations. Mm-hmm. I think I saw that they were the first team out in a Lenardi's bracket. So whatever stock you want to put into that, that's where they're at.
If UNLV's ever going to be able to tie the past to the present and ever play inspired, and if Dave could get those guys motivated, and I've said before that the one problem I have with Dave is sometimes he lacks that energy and the ability to motivate, it would be tomorrow night.
And so what's it mean if they lose that game?
By 20?
No, just lose.
If they lose, I mean, they've only got seven players. It's tough to say.
Eight, you're forgetting Barry Chaney.
Whatever it is.
This better be Barry's time. He's going to be getting some
minutes.
That's
your guy. I totally get it.
He busts his ass.
But what I'm saying is
4 years.
They should come out and they should be inspired and they should put on a show because the MAC's going to be packed. It's going to be rocking. It's going to be a tribute to TARC. It's going to link the past to the present. Dave Rice, Stacey Ogman, they were there during the past. They are the present. Those kids need to be ready to go. They need to be fired up. They need to know that for that one night, they're playing for more than themselves. And if you can't relay that message to seven guys to say, give me your all for 40 minutes, forget about the name on the back of your jersey. You're playing for UNLV. You're playing for all the brothers from the past who are all going to be there. Go put on a show, young man. If you can't get them ready to go, I could do it. Put me in the locker room. Amen. I'm done.
I'm going to be intrigued. Baseball, we'll just shift gears here as we kind of wrap up. Open the season with a home series against Nebraska. Record attendance the first night.
3,100 and some change. Line out to the softball stadium.
Yeah, they did not. It wasn't. Softball stadium's a ways away.
It was.
No, it was. Like, right before gates opened or what?
No. First pitch, there was still a line of people out to the softball stadium to get in.
Do you know where the softball stadium is?
Bro, I'm telling you right now, it was that way.
I feel like that's like 1,500. You would have to do like almost 2,000 people to make that line. Maybe I have no
idea. They said it was 500 yards from baseball to softball, five football fields.
How many people can fit on that? That seems like a lot. Now all of a sudden, I'm going to have to like do some math for this. But anyway, so they lose that game, but then come back, win the series. So overall, a nice start for them. Tim Chambers' club was picked to finish tied for third in the Mountain West, coming off of Mountain West regular season title last year. An intriguing team, seems deeper than years past. A lot of local kids, that's what I wrote about. You know, you've got 16 on the roster. That's how Chambers had always planned to build that team. But also, man, perfect weather to get fans out there and to get things going there. Do you think – this is something we were talking about a little bit but before the program started. I mean, do you think they can keep up – they're obviously not going to get 3,000 fans, but can they keep fan interest in this team? You know, we're looking at, you know, like a March weekend series. Can they get 1,500 a game? You know, is the program already to that point, or is it going to take another year or two?
I think it's
or ever. I don't know.
I don't know if when does the weather play into it? Because right now the weather is perfect.
It's so nice, and it's also, you know, it's unseasonably warm. You know, so it's kind of early, and so people are like, "Oh man, it's you know, look at the calendar, and it's not even Valentine's Day, and you can go out and feel in perfect baseball weather." You know, that's what Friday night was. So I think that definitely factored into it. Plus, just the beginning of the season, all of that excitement. But
if they keep winning and they keep throwing local kids, I mean, the Myers kid had 20 people in his family at the game. That helps you, right?
Yeah, I mean, that's Chambers has talked to me a lot of times about he feels like one local kid on the team means 25 butts in the seats. You know, and he's always been trying to – he's not just trying to win. He's trying to sell tickets too. You know, he's trying to make it an environment to go to a home game there, and so that's always part of it. But it helps that, you know, Vegas has an under-recruited or at least a little bit under-recruited talent base. You know, there's a lot of players.
A lot of players.
Out here. So it'll be interesting to track how that goes. We'll make our way out there a few times this year.
They are going to need to score. I mean, they have 8 runs in 3 games, which definitely won't work.
Yeah, you're going to have to. They don't have the same pitching staff as last year. Some good guys, but you know, probably nobody better than. I'm not sure if they have anybody better than Richie, even. And you know, you had Fetty on top of him before the injury. That was a great staff last year, but more pieces along the diamond or throughout the diamond, and so we'll kind of see how that develops. It's going to be an interesting year for baseball, basketball winding up. I just don't know. I don't know what to expect out of the team any given night. That's kind of just that's based on both how they've played this year and now the fact that, you know, they're down to 8 guys, basically 9 if you include Mr. Charles Rushman, the other walk-on along with Barry Chaney. And so we'll see, because Dantley Walker going to be out 3 to 4 weeks. Vaughn, I think, should be shut down for the season, but we'll see, as I said, how his rehab develops on that torn meniscus. You going to be at the game tomorrow?
I will, Wednesday. Can't wait.
It's going to be. I know a few of the things that they've been planning for this game for honoring Tark, but they weren't finalized yet, so I don't want to say them right now. But in my preview story, check it out tomorrow.
Should I bring a tissue?
Las Vegas, you might need to.
Okay.
Possibly.
I'm emotional, man.
Yeah, I know.
I almost cried at Dave Rice's introductory presser.
That's a little sad for you.
Seriously, I did. He was beautiful.
I believe you, yeah. But still sad for you. So for Ray, I'm Taylor. We will be out at the MAC Wednesday, and then they head to New Mexico on Saturday. See what the 5-7 Rebels can come up with. We'll talk to you guys next week.